morning, good day, and good evening. I am Trigger Stensvold, and you are listening to the Tired Student Podcast. I have recently been reading what people refer to as one of the classics when it comes to, you know, books and stuff, that being the famous book, The Handmaid's Tale. In this last minute podcast, I will attempt to reflect on one of the most important themes of this book, that being women's rights, while connecting it to the story's setting, characters, and plot. I would just like to address something before we start. Dino, I apologize in advance for this podcast. I am extremely tired and I would honestly just like to finish quickly so I can go do something else. Anyways, The Handmaid's Tale is set in a dystopian future where the Republic of Gilead is the governing power in the US. Due to environmental challenges, many people in Gilead are unable to reproduce. Of course, women are blamed for this because women, right? No. And the theocratic beliefs in Gilead lead to women being oppressed in many ways. Theocratic, of course, meaning religious. However, the Gilead government oppresses women in ways that might not be apparent to them. I call it the psychology of oppression. Females have historically been subject to a lot of rape and violence from cruel and vile men. And what Gilead does is remind women that they are fragile and that they need to be protected by, you know, losing their rights, essentially. It can be explained in the phrase, "I'm only doing this because I love you." We've all heard that before, right? They don't lose their independence or individuality. Instead, they gain the freedom from being subject to violence, right? They don't lose their freedom to, they gain their freedom from. That's an important distinction. However, still, Gilead doesn't shy away from stating that men are above women, just that the women need to be protected. And this is what I interpret as the psychology of oppression within the setting of this context. There are multiple characters in The Handmaid's Tale we can connect to women's rights and the oppression of women. Right off the bat, we have Offred, who is the narrator and the main character of the story. She represents sort of the pacified woman. She's intelligent, she's kind, and she dreams of a better life. However, she's also not able to resist Gilead, not yearning to join the resistance like Ofglen, who is another handmaid. Speaking of Ofglen, she represents the devoted feminist role, being absolutely devoted to the resistance and liberating women from the oppression of Gilead. And it even reaches the point where Ofglen decides to kill herself instead of revealing the names of her allies. We also have poor Moira, I don't know how to say it, doesn't matter. I feel like she represents the broken hero. Early in the book, she's established as a fighter and a staunch feminist. She never succumbs to Gilead and attempts to escape multiple times. However, when she finally escapes, she's captured and turned into a prostitute. Moira is a symbol of how oppression can break down even the most independent people. Finally, we have Serena Joy, the commander's wife. Going by today's trends and phrases, she can be described as a pick-me girl. I don't know if you know what that is, but it essentially means that she goes against her fellow women in order to gain validation from men. Still though, even being at the top of the social ladder, Serena is desperately unhappy, so I mean, she kind of played herself, to be fair. Almost finished. The plot of The Handmaid's Tale is difficult to track, since it isn't really told in a very tidy fashion. Instead relying on Offred simply talking about what she has experienced, I can't talk, through audio tapes. However, what we can trace through the plot is Offred's growing rebellious nature. As she talks more and more with Moira and Ofglen, she grows a sense of independence for herself. She gets quite close with the commander throughout the story, and at one point decides to speak for herself and states that she isn't happy where she is. The commander, of course, nonchalantly just expresses that, you know, you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. But still, you know, she speaks for herself, which is kind of a big deal. Furthermore, Offred also initiates a sexual relationship with an officer named Nick. What all this means for Offred is that she, being a, you know, quite a passive individual, as I named earlier, grows more and more rebellious and independent by being inspired and influenced by, you know, other women like Moira and Ofglen. This coincides with the real life as well. Okay, hold on. This coincides with real life as well. We see, like in, you know, reality TV, we see... No, wait, not reality TV. Whatever, I can't be bothered to record again. We see little girls being inspired and influenced by mature and independent women like Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey, for example, right? So, essentially, what I'm trying to say is... women, you know, just people in general who sort of, you know, don't have independent thoughts can gain independent thoughts by associating with people who have independent thoughts. Does that make sense? Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Tired Student Podcast. Good morning, good day, and good evening. Thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure, I guess. I don't know.